Atwood and Janet Bray Atwood. We are the co-authors of the New York Times bestseller, The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. And we are absolutely thrilled to be able to spend this time with all of you tonight. And as you all heard, there are people calling in from all over the world, from Australia, China, London, England, and everywhere, and all over the U.S. and Canada. And for us, these calls are such a wonderful, special opportunity for all of us to be able to connect with our hearts and souls all around the globe. And we look forward to getting the chance at some point to be able to see, meet, and greet every one of you. But in the meantime, the wonderful technology of the telephone is a great way for us to connect. And this teleseminar, this call, as I mentioned at the beginning, is focused on how you can use the passion test for finding your ideal mate. And we hope that you will take the principles in this call to see how you can apply this simple, powerful passion test process to any area of your life. You know, as Janet and I will discuss, in our lives, we find that this process of clarifying what matters most to us in many different areas of our life works so well and so successfully that we use it all the time, and we hope you will as well. But because so many people have said that relationships, having their ideal relationship is so important to them, is among their top five, and for many of us it's been a challenge for so many years, we thought, why not dedicate some special time to it? And we're going to do this call, and then we're going to do a whole course on this subject, which I'll talk about a little bit later, and we have some great surprises for you. But Janet, do you want to share with everyone why we decided to, how we came about doing this call to begin with?
Yeah, we did this call because I wanted to find out who all the single men are on the call so I could meet. Just kidding, guys.
That's our hidden agenda here, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why we decided to do this call was because when Chris and I were in California, doing one of our programs, I remember this moment perfectly. We're driving down the freeway in San Jose, and I was brainstorming with Chris on the different passion test books. I want to write the passion test books for teens and the passion test for a purpose-filled life. And then I said, oh, we've got to write the passion test for your ideal mate. And Chris said, yeah, and I can tell the story about Doe and I, that's Chris's wife, Doe. And I said, yeah, but what am I going to talk about? So before we go any farther, let's get one thing off the table. You know, Chris and I are about total transparency. And so I said to Chris that I wanted to just to share with everyone that I've had a realization over the year, and I keep trying to get into this relationship thing. And I keep finding that it's not a top passion. And Chris, I wanted you to share with everyone what you said when I said that to you, and we were talking about this teleseminar, when I said it's not my top passion. You go, oh, yeah. This illustrates this point exactly on the passion test.
Well, that is the point. And, you know, it's so interesting because if you spend any time around Janet, if you hang out with her at all, you know or will find out that she's one of the most loving, beautiful, heartfelt people you'd ever want to meet. And it's really the reason, and we'll talk more about this before the call is over, but it's because of Janet's huge heart that she was able to help me to expand to the place of our being able to maintain a beautiful, wonderful, loving relationship, even as the character and nature of our relationship changed from being married to no longer being married to being business partners to now me being remarried and about to have a baby, and it's an expression of Janet's beautiful heart and the quality of that heart that after getting to know her and spend a lot of time with her, that my wife then asked Janet if she would be the godmother of our child.
So wrap your arms around that one. Do you love that or what?
I totally love it, I have to say.
I'm telling everyone else. I know you love it.
I do. And the thing is that you'll hear Janet, when you spend time around her, from time to time saying, oh, I'd love to have a relationship in my life. Oh, I'd love to have a man to be around and this and that.
I would sometimes.
And what I notice is that when Janet goes through the passion test, when I oftentimes will take her through the passion test when she asks me to. That while that certainly will show up on her list somewhere, it's rare that it actually shows up at the top of in her top five. And even when it has on occasion, what I have noticed about Janet is that then a situation will arise where she's faced with a choice or a decision or an opportunity, and she finds herself unable to choose in favor of going for the relationship. And that's where I said, God, Janet, that is such a perfect illustration, because, you know, for so many of us, and all of you have taken the passion test, you may have found that there are times where we get to our top five, we make the list, and then the next instruction, of course, and this is the critical instruction, if you haven't been on one of these calls, if you haven't read the passion test book, then you want to write this down, because it is the secret that guarantees a passionate life. The first piece is to get clear on what it is you choose to create. But the second piece then is whenever you're faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passions.
Chris, can I just put in
a...
It's so perfect because it's really the acid test.
It is.
Right, you write your passions down, and I did this. I had as my number three. No, Chris, my number three. I'm going to have an ideal mate, and I choose to have this ideal mate in my life. But in every instance where there was an opportunity to create that, or do something else, right, or be something else, or do another project, I always chose in favor of that other thing. And after a while, it was like, okay, I've got to really deal with this. You know, and realize that although it sounds good and I love it, you know, and I love my friends all around me and all their wonderful relationships, it's not what at this point in time what I choose in favor of. And this is really something for all of you to look at in your own lives, you know, to really get down, and that's what the passion test is all about, to really get down and honor what is it that you're really most passionate about and choose in favor of it, even when the mind, and it's really the mind, and Chris always says, you know, where do your passions come from? Do they come from your mind or do they come from your heart? You know, well, in my head, you know, many times I think something else, but it's my heart that keeps choosing what is it that I really choose to create in my life, and your heart as well.
Exactly, and the whole aim of our call this evening, and the course that we'll be teaching on the passion test for finding your ideal mate, is to use this principle of clarity. And you'll remember from the passion test book, the way it goes is, when you are clear, what you want will show up in your life, and only to the extent you're clear. I'll say it one more time. When you're clear, what you want will show up in your life, and only to the extent you're clear. And as illustrated by both Janet and me, I mean, we're telling Janet's story here right now, but I've had just as many stories, that process of clarity is, in fact, oftentimes a process. And sometimes your mind will think, as Janet has expressed, will think, oh, this is one of my top passions. But then, as she said, when it comes down to the acid test and you have to make the choice, if you're not making the choice in favor of the thing you wrote down, it means it's time to go back and look again. There's something else that's more important. So on the call tonight, we're going to go through a number of levels to show you or demonstrate for you how to gain a level of clarity at successive levels of understanding, so that you, if it is really one of your passions to have an ideal relationship in your life, that you have the clarity and the focus to be able to really create that in your life. And Janet, do you want to share with everyone how we came up with the content that we should cover during the call?
Right, well, we sat down and we wrote out over 1,000 questions together. No, we thought relationships are such an interesting process. What we really did was I'm in a funny mood tonight. We did an international survey campaign, and we got responses from all over the world. Over 1,700 questions were sent in. And the questions that we're starting with tonight are the questions that we're most asked. And how we're going to do this call tonight is that Chris is going to pose each of the questions, and then we'll spend a couple of minutes answering these questions, showing how to use the passion test to gain more clarity in your personal and romantic relationships. So, Chris, before we get into questions, I was wondering, you know, you mentioned earlier about being in this perfect ideal relationship with your wife, Doe. Can you tell your story about how you met Doe?
I would love to, and I'll tell it in brief. In the emails that you've all gotten, you've gotten a little taste of it. I have to say that I feel deeply fortunate and blessed in really having what the most wonderful and ideal relationship that I can possibly imagine, and I can only credit it to the fact that using the passion test process and the tools that we'll be sharing tonight and in the course that we're teaching, that I gained a level of clarity that I had never had before. And to be honest with you, a lot of that clarity, just as for each of you, a lot of that clarity has come from past relationships. And we'll talk more about that as we go tonight. But every person that we meet in our life, every person that we love, as well as every person who really touches on those tender, painful parts of ourselves, every single one of those people informs us about what are the elements that will really help us to enjoy and have an ideal relationship. And we'll talk about that. But having gone through that process, I gained a level of clarity in 2003 after Janet and I had been divorced for about 7 years. I tried some dating and it hadn't gone anywhere, and I got deeply immersed in work. And then at one point there was a break in work, and I thought, hey, I think I'll just go online and see what's up there. And I was really just doing it for fun to play. Now, I have to say, before this, I had gone through the process that we'll describe tonight, and I had gone through it in some detail, and I was pretty clear about what it was that I was looking for, and not only what I was looking for, but what it was that I had to give, who I am and what I had to give and share to a partner. And with that sort of in the backdrop, to be honest with you, I'd written it all down, but I kind of forgotten about it. It had been a few months before. I went onto this dating site. It's called spiritsingles.com, if any of you are interested. And I'll say a little bit more about that before we close tonight. But it was a wonderful site. You know, those of you who've read our book and who may know me a little bit, you know that, like Janet, I'm a deeply spiritual person, and the spiritual aspect of my life is important to me, so it's natural that would show up in a relationship as well. And as I went through these hundreds of profiles, and one of the things I loved about Spirit Singles is that it had these different aspects of a person's life and the kinds of things that they enjoyed doing, and including spiritual practices, and you could do some detailed searches on that helped to kind of identify people that had the kinds of qualities or characteristics that I was particularly interested in. And one of the women that popped out said that she was from Germany and living in Europe, but she had a background, spiritual background, was very similar to mine, and I was intrigued. And I wrote her an email, and a week went by, and any of you who've done online dating, you kind of know this scenario probably on some level or other. A week went by, nothing happened, so I wrote again, and I said, hey, what's up? And the next day I got an email back and said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I haven't been checking my emails, but to be honest with you, I'm really happy where I am. I'm living in the south of France and really don't see myself getting into a relationship for a while. But there was this one opening, as you may have read in my email. It would be sweet to stay in touch. Well, that was enough for me. So we emailed back and forth, and one day, not long after, my cell phone rang. And I picked it up, and there on the phone was this woman, Doris, who I had been emailing with. And I called her back, of course, so she didn't have to pay the long-distance charges. And then we talked for a couple of hours, and I was entranced, I have to tell you. I just loved the quality of her voice, and we did have a lot in common. But I had no clue, really, whether she was my ideal partner or not. I was just staying open. And all of you who've read the Passion Test, you know one of the key principles that we teach of living a passionate life is that ability to stay open. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, we ended up talking on the phone regularly, and a point came where I finally said, look, Doe. I got to calling her Doe because she said some of her friends did that, and I loved that name. I said, look, Doe, you know, if we need to meet sooner rather than later, because if there's something there, then we should know it, and if there isn't, then we can both get on with our lives. And she finally said, okay. So I got myself a plane ticket. I went over. We spent a couple of glorious weeks. I mean, unbelievably amazing weeks. And I could talk for days about how sweet and wonderful that experience was and all the ins and outs of it. But the bottom line of it was that I am... I, I invited her to come over and to spend some time with me in America, which she did. And we ended up spending a lot of time together, and a year later, I asked her to marry me, and by some amazing stroke of good fortune, she said yes. We were married almost 2 years ago now, and as all of you know, of course, any moment, literally any moment, we have a baby about to come into the world. And
if you quit talking real fast and all of a sudden there's a long, long, long pause.
That's right. You'll all know that something has happened. So the past 5 years for me in terms of relationship, really for the first time in my life, have been the most remarkable and beautiful and wonderful and amazing that I could possibly imagine. And from my side, it was the possibility of being able to help share some experience, some wisdom and knowledge that I think both Janet and I have gained in our own individual paths along the way that inspired us to do this call. And as we begin, what we'd like to suggest is that the great place to start in as you are wanting to create a picture of what it will be like to be with your perfect partner is to take the advice of our revered colleague, Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and The 8th Habit, who said, begin with the end in mind. And so with that in mind, what we'd suggest and where we want to begin is by looking at and imagining what your ideal relationship will look like. Not what your ideal partner will look like initially, but what your ideal relationship will look like. And I would say the piece of that, the way to begin with that, is to say, who are the people that I know who have been in long and extended relationships for whom I have the greatest respect, who really have deep, loving, and fulfilling relationships? As you are thinking about that, One of the questions that was asked that comes up in this regard is, how will you know, when you begin, how will you know that your relationship will last over time? And our answer to that in part, and Janet can fill in on this, but our answer in part is the way you can know that a relationship will last over time is by having a clear picture of what that relationship will be 10, 20, 25, 30 years from now. Looking at, and so we suggest and we begin by thinking of all the qualities and characteristics of our ideal relationship. And if you are taking notes on this call, this is the place to begin. Not what your the qualities and characteristics of your ideal partner yet, but the qualities and characteristics of your ideal relationship. Who will be part of it? What will it be comprised of? What are the elements of it? What is the nature of the relationship? What is the communication like? What are the interactions within the relationship, and how do you in that relationship interact and relate with others? What's it like to go to parties or to go to be with other people when you're in that relationship, in that context? To then making that list, and make the list as, like we said with the passion test, and for those of you who are not as familiar with the passion test process, then we highly recommend you get a copy of the book, because we're not going to cover that in detail in this call. But in chapter 3 of the book, it explains in detail how to go through the process once you have a list, then of determining what are your top 5 qualities. So the first thing is getting clear on what are the top 5 qualities or characteristics of my ideal relationship. Now, one of the questions that was asked, Janet, is how are you going to know that someone is your perfect partner? And I wonder if you would be willing to address that.
Well, Chris, that one's, you know, when I was thinking about that, I actually, the word perfect always jumped out at me because you know, when I set myself up and am in the past looking for a perfect anything, right, I really want to talk about that word perfect. Who do you know at all that's perfect, right, until you feel and see yourself as perfect? And so until then, when we set the bar so high that there is no room for humanness or what I call mistakes, where we take it again and again, we start criticizing our mate for what we perceive to be his or her imperfections. And I just want everyone to remember, you know, when you ask this question, you know, how will we know that someone is your perfect partner? You know, the world is as you are. The world is as you are. So in order for anyone to attract whatever it is or whoever it is that they choose to create in their life and be within their life and love within their life, be kind, stay rested, and allow those good things to flow to you after you set your intentions and you get clear, as you've asked everyone to do, on, you know, on creating your ideal perfect relationship. Then step back and let go and start to drop into creating that perfect relationship called you.
I love that. So really, so many people think, well, I have to start with what are the qualities and characteristics of my partner. The first piece here that we would share is we suggest let go of that concept and begin thinking about the qualities and characteristics of the relationship you choose to have. And this, you'll find that this flows over to the kinds of relationships you want to have generally. What are the kinds of relationships you choose to have and create in your life? But it's helpful to make it specific. And so thinking about your ideal romantic relationship will help you in turn to define the other relationships in your life. And again, as I mentioned earlier, think of those people who have been in relationships that you've admired for years and years. And then make your list and apply the patch test process to it. Now, as all of us, if we're beginning with the end in mind and we're thinking about the relationship that we want to have many years from now, I know for most of us, if not all of us, we surely want to have a relationship where there's still excitement and romance and vibrancy, the same kind of excitement and romantic qualities that were there in the beginning. And yet we all know, don't we, that after many years of living together, sometimes those things can kind of dull out and we get used to each other. And so one of the questions we've been asked, I'm going to ask Janet to respond to, is how do you inject excitement, or how do you maintain or increase or bring back excitement, romance, and vibrancy to a relationship after you've been together with someone for years and years?
Well, one of my best friends, and many of you now have heard her name many times, her name is Marcy Shimoff. She's one of the stars of the movie The Secret. She has the number 2 book out on New York Times at the present moment called Happy for No Reason. And in her book, Marcy shared a research that was conducted by a Dr. John Gottman. And in his research, what he said was that he could predict with 94% accuracy, 94% accuracy, if people will stay in a relationship, observing them for just a few hours based on the ratio of positive interactions to negative interactions. And he said it's 5 to 1. He said you have to be 5 positive to 1 negative. Everybody writing that down so you know, right? You have to have 5 positives to 1 negative. And I thought, well, that really makes it very, very simple. And, you know, in the Passion Test book, we have a process, and it's called the appreciation game. And what that practice is all about is finding the good, continuously finding the good, looking for the good, first starting with yourself, you know, what I appreciate about myself today is, and then find something that was hard for you to do in that day, but you did it anyway. And then you go to the next level in the appreciation game and you say, and the reason it was hard was because. And that will show you, you know, that will take you to a deeper level of appreciation for yourself. And then use the appreciation game on those people around you, so that you'll be able to create that ability to spontaneously start to use that appreciation reflex. For some of us, you know, it's easier to look and find what others are doing in our life that isn't working than what is working. And the appreciation game will get you in the habit of being able to look at the good. There's also a story in the Passion Test book, and it's a story of two of my friends, and they were in a relationship, but the husband to be was having just a real disconnect in terms of money. And so there was a thought, you know, I don't know if I can marry him. And then one day she came to me and she said, everything's changed. We're getting married. And I said, well, what changed? And she said, well, I decided that what I needed to do was, instead of telling him all the time how bad he was with money and how he was always screwing up, was instead, no matter how hard it was for me, start to put my attention on what he did well with money. And the littlest thing he did well, I'd compliment him on. And after a while, he just walked around like he was Mr. America, and now he's becoming an expert in the field of finances. Go figure. And again, it was just what they were doing was playing the appreciation game. What she did was played the appreciation game. So, Chris, let's give an example, okay?
Sure, Janet. Go ahead and appreciate me.
Okay, Chris, I've got a good one today. What I really appreciate about you today is that you've had the flu for 5 days in a row. And on top of that, your wife is expecting in any moment, and you are on this call. You showed up, and I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate about you. And why I appreciate that about you, Chris, is because I know it wasn't easy. I know when I called you today to go over this, and when we talked yesterday and the day before, right, you weren't really in that space where, oh, yeah, I really want to do this. But you knew that you had a lot of people on this call today. And so you just, you know, you just took that energy, and here you are. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Janet. And, you know, Janet, what I so appreciate in you is your ability to really see deeply into what's going on, to appreciate and to be able to understand in me and in others in an almost uncanny way what is really and truly going on with us. And I remember one time years ago when we were both walking into an office, and I said hi to the receptionist, and you stopped when you saw the receptionist looked fine to me. And I'm willing to bet to 99% of the people in the world, she looked perfectly fine. But you stopped, Janet, and you said, honey, what's going on? Are you all right? And in that moment, the girl broke into tears and went down the hall and sat and told you what was really going on in her heart and what she didn't feel she could share with anyone else, and was able to let that burden off just as a result of your ability to see what she needed and what was going on with her so clearly. And you do it with me all the time. You do it with everyone that I see. And I so appreciate that quality in you, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
So this is what we call the appreciation practice. And this will enable you to, again, create that reflex so that you can have those five positives to the one negative. And this is what we call your OM work, right?
Yeah.
This is your OM work for the week, to really, you know, find that person that's closest to you and just keep your attention on what it is that you appreciate in them, and then play the appreciation game with them.
So this is one of the practical tools, and you know what's so wonderful is that you begin to do that, and that romance and that excitement and that delight in the relationship begins to come back, it seems, spontaneously. But what's happening is it's really a result of where we're putting our attention. Because where is our attention when we first meet someone? It's on all their wonderful, amazing, incredible qualities, isn't it? It's on all the things we love about them and all the things that they do that just turn us on and get us excited. And then as time goes on, our attention has a tendency to shift into things that bother us or that we're not so happy about or that we don't appreciate so much. And so it's natural that romance and excitement and vibrancy begins to go out of the relationship. So this simple tool that Janet has just shared can shift the whole thing for you. So all of this is in the context of thinking about what is the relationship you choose to have years and years and years from now after you've been with your perfect partner, your ideal partner for many years. I'll just by way of example, I'll share of a few of the things that I wrote down that were important to me before I met Doe. And one of the things was that our relationship is characterized by trust, openness, mutual support, that she appreciates and loves me just as I appreciate and love her, and our relationship is a balanced relationship. Another one was that we have a strong, wonderful, incredible, and mutually respectful physical and sexual aspect of our relationship, because that was important to me. And so I wanted to be sure that it was in there. And in fact, I remember when I first met Doe and we were talking about these things, she said that was one of the things that both endeared her and made her laugh, was that I was so sort of out front. But I think in a respectful way at the same time. I wasn't rude or lewd or anything, but still clear about what was important to me. Another one was that our relationship is one that supports both of us in having good health habits, in eating well, in exercising, in taking good care of ourselves. And another one for me, and this one may not be so obvious to everyone, but it was something somehow was clear to me, that on both sides, that all the people around us, our parents, our friends, our family, that they love and respect both of us, that we are both embraced by the people that are closest to us, even if they haven't known or met us up until now in their lives. And so these things, as I thought about my ideal relationship, these were things that were deeply important to me. So you'll want to think about what will your relationship look like and what will be important to you. So are we ready to go on to the next one, Janet?
We are.
Okay. So once you're clear on the kind of relationship you choose to have, then the next step is getting clear where most people start. We say it's the second level, is getting clear on the characteristics or qualities of the partner you choose to draw into your life. And again, the thing that informs us is the people we've known whom we've loved and who have loved us, the people who have shown us qualities that are really dear and precious to us. And also, in the past relationships we've had, and this is one of the biggest things for me, was being able to see, even when someone was very close to being what appeared to be a perfect partner, but there were some key elements that were missing, they showed me the really important, most critical elements that needed to be there in my ideal partner in order for it truly to be ideal. And so it was the relationships that didn't work in the past, oftentimes, that gave me the best knowledge to be able to move forward. So with that, how would you suggest, Janet, that people get started? How do you get started in this process?
So first off, when all of you get off the phone from our call tonight, the first thing that you're going to do is get out your pen and paper and then make a list of all the men or women in your life that you have loved, that you have been in relationship with, that you just, when you think about them, it just brings that warm, fuzzy feeling to your heart. And think about all of their qualities and write down those favorite qualities that they had. You know, one of the things that you could do is just make a list from when you were, when you were in high school or junior high school on up, going through college and then in your later years, of the different relationships that you've had. And then stop and go deeply into each person that you've been with and ask yourself, what was it that I loved about that person? What was it that I really, really appreciated about that person? And, one of my friends said, well, you should also ask them to write down, what's a non-negotiable? In other words, what are those things that, if they have that thing in their life that you don't, that you absolutely won't be with them? And Chris and I have chosen to keep our attention on what we call the positive, on the good. right? Whatever you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. And what we talked about this, and we felt that putting down any non-negotiables, then all of a sudden what we're doing then is we're putting our attention on what we don't want to have happen happening. And when we start to think of what we don't want in a person, there's a real charge to that for many of us, right? And so energetically, that could be very powerful. you could find that in your life once again. So write down all of those qualities that really, truly, in your heart, really were just so deep to you and created that memory of what that love felt like. And make a list of all of those qualities, and that would be the first thing. And then apply the passion test process, just as we said to do, in the book, in order to create your top five qualities most important to you in an ideal mate.
Could I share just a quick example of what you were talking about, Janet?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, before I met after Janet and I had been divorced and before I met Doe, I did meet a woman who I thought was absolutely ideal and perfect. I mean, she just seemed so remarkable, and she's still a very dear friend of Janet's and my wife's and mine. And I went deeply into it, and yet there was one thing that was critically important that she didn't have. And it was only by virtue of that relationship that I really fully realized, although most people, when you hear it on the phone, I know you'll say, well, how could you not know that? But I have to tell you, for some reason, I hadn't gotten completely clear that this one was absolutely critical until this relationship. And that was that as beautiful and wonderful and amazing as she was in so many ways, and as deeply in love with her as I was, she wasn't equally in love with me. And it was only through this kind of really getting knocked over the head that I realized that the most critical quality in my ideal partner was that she was as in love with me as I am in love with her. And it was that clarity. I count it as that clarity that allowed me to attract Doe, who has, interestingly enough, all the beautiful qualities of that other woman, but with this one added in, and it makes all the difference in the world. And I know, isn't it funny? It would seem, Janet, you'd think that would be so obvious, wouldn't you?
Well, Chris, you know, you get what you get when you get it, don't you?
It really is true, I got to say. So going through this process that we've been describing, the first step is using the passion test process to get clear on the top five most important things in your ideal relationship. Second, using the passion test process to get clear on the top five qualities or characteristics of your ideal partner. And one of those can be that they are as in love with you as you are with them. Just that was certainly mine. Now, the third step, Janet, is we all know that compatibility is a critical issue, and you can love someone dearly, and they can be so totally in love with you, but it still may be impossible to live with them. So how do we find someone who's going to be compatible with our values, our beliefs, our principles, and that we can live with on a day-to-day basis?
Well, first I have to know who am I. You know, who am I? What are my values and what are my beliefs, right? Get very, very crystal clear on that. And the way I would get clear is by, again, taking the passion test and applying the passion test process to the qualities that I'm looking for in my partner. And I do this I do this by applying the passion test process to get clear on what are the values, the principles, and beliefs that are most important to me. What are the values and principles that are most important to me?
And this is a critical piece, isn't it? Because, I mean, until we know who we are, until I know who I am, how can I truly open up to know who someone else is? And so going through the process of looking at myself, really understanding and clarifying what are the things that are most deeply important to me, that has to be the critical next step. Now, I'm going to, Janet, with your permission, I want to take a break here for a moment, because we're going to be going on for a while tonight, and as I mentioned earlier at the end, we want to open up the lines and give the opportunity for those of you who are here with us to be able to ask questions that we may not have covered or that have come up as we've been talking. So you'll want to stay with us for that. But I know some of you may not be able to stay until the end of the call. So I just want to mention that beginning in 2 weeks, you know, as Janet mentioned, we've received over 1,700 questions, beautiful, powerful questions, and there's no way that we can cover those in an hour and a half or even 2 hours. And so we are going to be leading a teleseminar course starting in 2 weeks on February 12th, and we're going to go through the fundamental elements of creating that ideal relationship and the specifics of what we are covering in general terms tonight. And there'll be five primary elements to that course, and I'll just review them briefly. We're going to talk about where you start, the power of clarity, and how to know that your potential partner, the one you're with, is the one for you, and answer the question, do you need to have the same passions as your partner? And what do you do when you've tried everything and nothing has worked? And how do you be absolutely sure that you're compatible? And does your partner have to be perfect, or what are the questions that you need to ask when you're first getting to know someone? Then from the clarity we go to getting out of your own way. How many of us have discovered that we get in our own way? So all the questions related to overcoming our fears and overcoming the fear of anything in our life and clearing the baggage from the past. And then getting on to how do we enjoy the process? Enjoy the process of creating that ideal relationship and then also enjoying the relationship once we have it. And then lastly, we're going to talk about, from our perspective, what true love really means. And How does the love that you share with your romantic partner spill over into other aspects of your life? And when relationships change, how do you maintain that wonderful, loving relationship over time with people that you care about, even as those things change? It's going to be five live training sessions the course will consist of. Now, all of you who participate in this, you'll get audio recordings of each session so you can go back through them. There'll be transcripts that we'll make available you can download for each session. And one very special thing that we so love about this course is that we have talked to the online dating site that allowed me to find my beautiful doe at spiritsingles.com, and they've agreed to allow us to include, for every person who registers in this call, you'll also receive a 1-year full membership at spiritsingles.com. So as part of your course fee, you'll get that complimentary. You'll be able to use all the features on the site, communicate with anyone that you find interesting on that site. As I said, it's a spiritually based site, so you'll find people from many, many different areas. But as I also said, what I love about that site is that it gives you the ability to do detailed searches to find people that really fit who you are. And if you're already in a relationship and you don't really need a dating site, then you can also gift that membership to someone else in your family or one of your friends who may be able to benefit from it. So all the things that are included in this course, the value of it's somewhere around $400. The course fee for those who participate now is just $199, and you can go and enroll in that course by going to thepassiontest.com/mate, M-A-T-E. Again, thepassiontest.com/mate. All the details are there. If you want to see what we'll be talking about and how it will be conducted, then go ahead and take a look there. Now, I mentioned this when I was just talking, Janet, that for many of us it seems like that one of the biggest obstacles to our ability to be able to attract and be part of a really wonderful relationship is our own fears. Fears of rejection, fears of repeating past disappointments, or sometimes it's just our own shyness. You know, some of us are not outgoing and we don't love to go out and date and go to bars or do this or do that. And what do you do? What does one do to be able to get over those fears? And second question is, if you're shy and you don't like to go out is it, how can you ever find that perfect mate? So the first one is, how do we get over those fears that may be getting in the way of our ability to attract that ideal partner?
Well, that fear of rejection or fear of loss or fear of repeating past disappointments are all just what we know as false beliefs, false concepts, and false ideals that are preventing all of us from attracting our perfect mate if that's what we choose to have at any time in our life. And so for this, we recommend using this incredible process called The Work of Byron Katie. And Chris, why don't you go ahead and explain what The Work is for everyone?
Sure. We talk about it a little bit in the Passion Test. In fact, I think we told one of the stories of our experience when Byron Katie, who we like to call Katie, and most people do, Katie was taking someone through the process of The Work. So you've gotten a little bit of introduction to it if you've read our book. But The Work is a simple process of investigating any thought, concept, or idea which is causing us pain or getting in the way of our ability to enjoy a full and rewarding life. And it consists of four questions in what Katie calls a turnaround. In fact, she has this little jingle. She says, judge your neighbor, ask four questions, and turn it around, right? And the judging your neighbor part is, well, why would you want to judge your neighbor? Well, what do all of us do? How many on the line have ever been in a relationship and judged your partner? Anybody here? If I could see your hands, I have a feeling they'd all be up right now, wouldn't they? Certainly, that's been my case. Janet, have you ever judged any of your partners?
Only you.
I'm glad we're clear about that.
And judge your neighbor, write it down, ask four questions, and turn it around.
Thank you for correcting me. Good. Then it rhymes, you see. When you say the whole thing, it actually rhymes. Judge your neighbor, write it down, ask four questions, and turn it around. And writing it down, of course, is very important because then you actually see it. As Katie says, you stop the mind. When we just, the mind tends to jump around like a monkey from here to there to one thought to another thought to another thought. But by writing it down, we stop the mind. And by stopping the mind, we're able to investigate the truth of the thought that is causing us pain or unhappiness. Fear of rejection, fear arising from the disappointments of the past or the treatments or the experiences that we've had in the past, all of those thoughts are simply things that are preventing us from being open to experience that ideal partner when they step into our life. And so that the four questions, very briefly, the first one is it true? So, Janet, if you were to judge your partner for something, what might be a thought that you could have?
My partner shouldn't... let's see, what shouldn't he do with his toothpaste? My partner should push the toothpaste from the middle of the tube.
That's right. Good. So the first question, is it true that your partner should push the toothpaste from the middle of the tube?
Yeah, he shouldn't.
The second question, can you absolutely know that your partner should push the toothpaste from the middle of the tube? In other words, can you absolutely know that it's true that your life and his life and everyone else's life would be better if he were pushing the toothpaste from the middle of the tube? Can you absolutely know that that's true? No. Third question, how do you react to that thought that your partner should push the toothpaste from the middle of the tube when he's not? How do you react to that?
It's how do I react, Chris? What I said was my partner shouldn't push.
Oh, shouldn't.
Yeah.
So how do you, forgive me.
Yeah, that's that used to be one of my things, you know, you push the toothpaste from the middle of the tube and you mess the toothpaste up. So how do I react when I see him pushing the toothpaste, when I have the thought he shouldn't push the toothpaste from the middle of the tube and he does?
Uh-huh.
I used to get so irritated. And then verbal harpoons would shoot out of my little angel mouth.
Yeah, I can just imagine them now. And how did you feel? Now, this is not one of the four questions, but it's just going a little deeper. How do you feel when you're shooting those verbal harpoons after having that thought?
never feels good. I feel awful.
Yeah. So who would you be? This is the fourth question. Who would you be without that thought that your partner shouldn't push the toothpaste out of the middle of the tube?
I'd be completely, like, totally loving my partner. I'd just be completely, I'd be loving. I'd be back to that loving space in me. Instead of, you know, judging the heck out of him.
Right. And then the turnaround. How would you express the turnaround so everyone can understand it, Janet, that my partner shouldn't push the toothpaste out of the middle of the tube?
Well, my partner should, because that's what he's doing. And that's what's so great about this process called the work, because the whole process is all about getting to that place where you are loving what is instead of how you think things should be. You know, Byron Katie, when we will go into her process deeper, one of the things that she always says is, God is good, God is everything, and there are no mistakes in the universe. So at every given moment, every moment is a gift, because every moment will show you where you are. No exceptions, that every moment is a gift. Again, no exceptions. And so by using the work of Byron Katie, what you come to realize by using this very simple process of four questions and a turnaround, what you come to realize is that the only thing that really ever bothers you is something that's in your mind, you know, some crazy thought that's in your mind. And if God is good and God is everything and there are no mistakes in the universe, then it's only a tweaking of your mind by asking these four questions that needs to occur in order to get you back to that place of love, where you're loving what is instead of how you think things should be. And again, loving what is means, again, that you're appreciating and knowing that everything is perfect in every moment as it is. Even that old toothpaste, even that toothpaste is perfect, right? I just love it, that old toothpaste tube with the toothpaste squirting out the middle of it.
So this is a simple review of the work, and you know, it's Janet, I know you and I talked about this, and we said with the work and some other tools that we're going to spend a whole session of our course on finding your ideal mate, just because it is the case, isn't it, that so many of us, we prevent ourselves from being able to step into our ideal relationship because of the concepts, the ideas, the beliefs that we hold, the fears, the disappointments that have come up in the past that almost prevent us from really having that ideal relationship, even if we discover the ideal partner. Isn't that true?
Well, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, the world is as you are. Again, I just love that quote, the world is as you are. And so when I stop and start using the turnarounds, right, and come back to that loving space, then I start to attract that. But when I am always judging, then the world will come back and judge at me as well. And then what you find is that when you're not in that loving space, you're in that place of what Chris and I called contraction. And when you're contracted, you know, when you're negative or angry or upset, you're not open, are you? And we all know that, right? We all know what contraction looks like all too well. And so the work of Byron Katie is just to get us back to our natural space, to that natural place of being open and loving what is. And when we're open, then we're open to the gifts that life has to offer, and we're open to the law of attraction. And so that when we write down all of these things that we choose to create in our life, when they start to come to us, we're open to receive them, and that's the great gift about all of these tools that we're sharing tonight. And we're just giving you all a taste. This is just a little taste of going through these little these different processes. And what we're going to be doing in our program is going deeply into each and every one of them, bringing on some surprise guests to share their knowledge with you as well. People that, you know, if we mentioned their names, you'd go, oh my God, that's worth it right there. So that you can really, truly understand the connection between you and someone else, and that in using the law of attraction to attract that perfect mate into your life, if that's what is in your deepest hearts of hearts.
Now, false beliefs, concepts, and ideas are one thing, but sometimes there's just our own nature. And I'm not sure for someone who's shy or more introverted, like, you know, actually, my wife Doe is here listening in, and she's pointing to herself, you know, like me, for example. How can that sort of person ever find their ideal partner if they're shy and they don't really like to get out and meet people, you know?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Their perfect partner, when they write down what it is that they choose to attract in their life, and we're going to use this wonderful, wonderful process, and hopefully we'll have Jan Brenier be able to walk everyone through her completely profound process of attracting your perfect partner. And one of the things that Jan talks about is that when you are clear about who you are and you write those things down, and it's in her process, one of the third questions is, what do they expect from me to deliver? In these four questions that Jan has in her book of attracting your perfect mate, then what you'll find is that when you get clear about who you are, and say you're shy like Doe, but you write that down, that what you're looking for is someone who appreciates who you are, and one of the things you are is shy, then you're going to draw someone who's going to love and adore that aspect of you that's shy.
As I do with Doe.
Absolutely. and again, we'll go into this very, very deeply and bring on the experts to share in that area.
It really is true, you know, and we can't overemphasize this point enough, that it's really about you getting clear on who you are that is the basis of being able to attract the person who will most love and most appreciate you. And from there, it's all magic. You know, Doe is such a great example because she never went looking for anyone. I mean, I discovered when we finally met that she was playing around when she put a profile up on SpiritSingles.com. She only put it up on the site for 3 days, and then she took it down because she realized she wasn't really ready to get into a relationship. But somehow her 3 days and my 2 weeks that I went online overlapped, and we found each other. Now, how could that happen? You know, any of you have heard us speak, or if you in the Passion Test book, we talk about that when you get clear on what it is that really matters to you in your life, miracles happen. And I have to admit, the fact that she had a profile up for 3 days and I went on for two weeks, that is a friggin' miracle, if you ask me.
Friggin'.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, for some of us, Janet, some people, they've been single for a long, long time. And the question that we've been asked is, how will you ever be able to let a partner into your life if you've really been single for a long time? And with your permission, I'd like to tell a little story for people. Is that all right?
Absolutely. And I hope it's the one about your mother because it's the best.
Yeah. You know, divorce is much too prevalent in America, I'm afraid, and as many of us know. And my parents were divorced when I was 16 years old. And from that time, my mother, when my parents got divorced, she was about 39 years old. And for years and years, the years that followed, you know, she always wanted to have some relationship to one extent or another, but she never found a permanent relationship again. She never found that ideal person. And frankly, 34 years went by, and still no partner in her life. And it's interesting, when I talked to my mom about this, during all those years, she had been very successful in her career. She got a PhD. She got tired of the university scene and all the politics that was going on, so she got into real estate and then opened her own real estate brokerage. She became very successful in Chicago as a real estate broker. And then when she was around 70, she was diagnosed with lymphocytic leukemia. And that was a real shock, and she had to sell her business. She went out to Boston for a year to get special treatments, and her life really shifted and changed at that time, and she started doing a lot of introspection. And she went through a process not unlike the one that we've described tonight, although it took her some years to go through it. And she began to get clear on what it was that was really important to her. And she realized that she really, really did want to have that relationship in her life. And it wasn't too long after that happened that she reconnected with some friends who she had known in college 50 years before. Did you all get that? 50 years before. And they got together regularly for 6 months or a year, and then the wife came down with cancer and passed away just a few months later. And in the aftermath, my mom, who was very good friends with this man named Eric, who she had known 50 years before, and he and his wife had both been friends, and they hadn't been in close contact all those years, but she'd always loved and admired this man. And Eric, in his grieving for his wife, as he went through that process, he was so grateful and appreciative for the friendship and the warmth and the love that my mom shared. After some time had gone by, their relationship shifted from just a friendship to a much more romantic relationship. And at the time, I think Eric was 80 years old and my mom was about 73. And about 2 years after that, Eric asked my mom to marry him. And they've now been married for 5 or 6 years, I think about 5 years. And my mom, I remember the last time that I saw her, she said, "You know, Chris, this relationship is absolutely the fulfillment of all my dreams in life. That it's the most wonderful, beautiful, amazing relationship, that it was worth waiting those 34 years to be able to be in this relationship." So we want all of you to know that it's never too late. You've never been single too long. I doubt that there are many of you that have been single, if you've been in a relationship in the past for too much longer than my mom was. You know, whether you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, what's required is getting that level of clarity, of really being clear about who you are, and also then what is the nature of the relationship and the person that you really choose to have in your life. So do you want to add anything, Janet, before I go on to the next one, next question?
No, I love that, Chris, and I love that story as well.
Yeah. And so the other question that we wanted to cover tonight before we open it up for all of your questions who are listening, it's a question that we're asked so many times, and it certainly relates to having and creating ideal relationships. And that question is, how do Janet and I manage to remain best friends and business partners after being married and then getting a divorce and going through all of the upheavals that a divorce entails, and it did for us as well. And so, Janet, maybe you could share with people how that could have been possible, since you were primarily responsible for it, I have to say.
Well, first I decided that it was completely crazy to make an enemy out of someone that I truly, truly loved. That was the first thought that came to mind, or, you know, make them so wrong and push them so far out of my life that he'll never be in my life again. And we all know that we see that all too often in so many relationships, that people come together, they're so loving, and then they start to have their differences, and then the next next thing you know, right, it's just verbal harpoons all over the place, and, you know, there's just that hatred sets in, and they never want to see that person again. And I just went, no, that seems like an insane world. I love what Byron Katie says. She says, terrorism exists in the mind. And to me, you know, this is the beginning of terrorism, where we start to make the other person the enemy. And
Janet, I want to interrupt for just 1 second, because I want to make sure it's clear that what you were responsible for us for was our remaining best friends and business partners. I don't want anyone to get the sense or feeling that I was saying you're primarily responsible for our divorce, because that certainly wasn't true.
I was responsible for the divorce and for us.
No, well, we were both responsible for everything that happened, and I am just so grateful to you that you had the wisdom to help me see how we could keep our hearts open. So I just want to be sure that that was clear.
There's a beautiful poem, and thank you, Chris, and it's by Rumi, and probably many of you have heard it. It's a poem about unconditional love, and it simply says, out beyond right doing and wrongdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. And to me, that says it all. Out beyond right doing and wrong doing, I'll meet you there. And to get to that place of accepting and loving what is, and it's not always easy, and especially with someone that you've been married to in the past, and you know, feel like this just can't go on. To really try to come to that place of loving what is, and we worked at this. And thank you, Byron Katie. We always thank Katie for that beautiful process of the work, because it was truly, and I remember the moment, the defining moment of the work really clicking in for both Chris and I. And we were in a restaurant in Sausalito, and we started talking about money. And you all know how money can really seem to bring the best and the worst out of everyone. And in that moment, it was the worst. And I was just looking at him, and I remember holding my knife on the table. Here we are in this beautiful restaurant, looking out at the bay, the San Francisco Bay. It's a perfect day. And we're talking about money, and I am getting so angry, and I'm thinking, I know why people get so angry that they do these really awful things. And I had just learned the work, and I said to Chris, start, ask me the 4 questions, because I knew well enough that it was only my perception that needed to shift. If every moment was perfect, it was my perception that needed to shift. And in that moment, and in the middle of that fire, because I wanted so much to truly shift in my own self, because every moment that happens truly, it's all about our own individual growth. And in that moment, that was my moment to really grab it and turn, you know, what used to be my initial gut reaction around. And so that was one of the tools that we used in order for us to come to that place, and both of us worked really hard at it, of unconditional love. And then let's bring Doe into the picture. You know, Chris and Doe, they met, they were in Germany, and I was in India, and I come back from India. And Chris and I have always been close because we really worked at it. And now here's this beautiful woman getting ready to marry Chris, wondering, who is this ex-wife? And how, right? And
what's she doing in the picture?
Yeah, exactly. And she's really just having such a struggle with it. And then, you know, we continue to use this process of the work. And Doe goes and takes Katie's school and comes back. And that's when we became very, very good friends, now just like a family, and she was the one who asked me to be the godmother. And it was really coming to that place and that realization that, you know, I am here to love, and then what do I need to do to get to that place, and what's it worth, right? What is it worth? And then doing all that we knew to do to stay in that place and keep moving through whatever it was in the way that separated us, but kept us from that place of true unity, because that's truly what our nature is. That each and every one of us, our nature is to truly have that loving relationship, and anything less than that, our work is not done. Again, I love this quote that Katie always would say, and she would say, if you're not at the place where you can say, honey, let me help you pack your bags in a loving way, you haven't yet done your work, and your work is not over. And there's this other beautiful quote that that I really always love to share, and it's, I want for you what you want for you. And Chris and I and Dill all practice this, if there's something that you desire to do, be, or have, then even if my mind can't wrap my arms around it, right? If I can't wrap my arms around it, it's not important, because I want for you what you want for you. And giving that unconditional love, letting go and just having that unconditional love for whatever it is that that person truly wants. And it's like, and we've all heard the thing, holding your hand open, right? Holding your hand completely open is where the gift is. And keeping your heart completely open is where that gift is. And truly, we're not saying it's easy. And in these weeks, what we'll be sharing with you are not only the work of Byron Katie, which we spent a lot of time on, but also talking about meditation and the different types of meditation and how they play a role, and the different types of living and what you choose to do in your day and how they affect the world that you live in and your relationships, and doing those things that bring you inner happiness, and what are they, and taking a look at those things. And then, again, going over, and over deeply into all of the knowledge that's in the Passion Test book to share with you, so that you can really start to be that passionate magnet that you are and attract that love into your life that you choose to create. And I'll tell you, although I haven't yet chosen in this moment to really choose in favor of having that ideal mate, I will say that in my life, with all of these tools, my life is so full, because every relationship I have is based upon that deep bond of unconditional love. And I know it comes from myself. And so working from there and then opening myself up outward, the world is as you are. And when you come from that place of truly standing in that unconditional love, then that is what the world brings back into your life. And I'll tell you, it is truly a very rich world, isn't it, Chris, that we live?
It is. It is such a rich world. And what we say relative to the Passion Test is the whole purpose of the Passion Test, all the exercises, the entire process, the process of gaining clarity and of diving deep within, it's all to allow us to connect with the deepest parts of our own heart, to come to know ourselves as deeply and completely as we can. And that, if there's a message that you all take from tonight's call, it's that that is the fundamental of finding and living your ideal, living with your ideal mate and creating that ideal relationship. It's really connecting with you, connecting with who you are, and then being able to appreciate and value you, who you are, because it's then that the people in your life are able to see those qualities in you. It comes down, quite simply, it comes down to that simple statement you've heard us say and read in the Passion Test, that what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. One of the things that Janet and I realized as we were going through our own process of moving through our relationship and the changes in the relationship and then recreating that relationship is that, you know, we knew that we loved each other dearly. I mean, we never would have gotten married in the first place if we didn't love and care about each other. And while there are exceptions, that most people, at least in the beginning of a relationship, really love and care about the person that they're with. And it's interesting. I find it fascinating, having studied Indian tradition and some of the Eastern traditions, that even in arranged marriages, where often the husband and wife don't even know each other before they marry, that there is such a tradition of appreciation that love grows in those relationships. And oftentimes, not so much in modern times, but in the more ancient times, in the older times, that those relationships were much longer lasting than most of the relationships that we see based on quote unquote love or infatuation. And for me, it really comes down to the ability to appreciate oneself and in turn to appreciate one's partner. One of the biggest lessons, Janet, I think that you and I learned was that the issues that we had with each other had nothing to do with the other person. The issues that I had with you, I came to realize, had nothing at all to do with you. No matter how you acted, no matter what you did or didn't do, what you said or didn't say, I came to realize over time, as I used the work and investigated the truth of the concepts and ideas that I was holding, I came to realize that they were all my judgments about you, Janet. And that as I undid those judgments, as I unraveled the beliefs that I held around those, I came to realize that I was inflicting my own suffering on myself. And that realization allowed me to open up to the fact and to begin to see and appreciate even more than I ever did in the early stages of our relationship what a beautiful, remarkable, incredible person that you are. And to be able to see, it's in that appreciation, I would say, that I came to realize and see that you have the qualities of my perfect business partner, my ideal business partner. That you have you are able to do the things that I'm not able to do, and I know you've said on many occasions that I'm able to do the things that you're not able to do. And so to be able to have that recognition was really based on that ability to clear away the false beliefs and concepts and ideas that were clouding my perception of you, open up to be able to see what the relationship that we could have that would be, in fact, so deeply fulfilling and so rewarding that I count it as one of the most precious relationships in my life. And I think what Jen and I are both saying is that that's open for all of us, for any of us, with anyone in our life. And as we do it with one, we gain the ability and learn to do it with all. Wouldn't you say, Janet?
Yeah, and that was beautiful, Chris. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's time that maybe we can open it up and see if...
Yeah. I just want to give out that website again for those of you who would really like to go deeper. If this has just been a taste, but if it really is the case that having that perfect or that ideal relationship in your life is deeply important to you, then we would encourage you to spend more time with us. And personally, I think it's so cool that most of the course fee for this course is actually allowing you to have a membership in what I at least have found was a very effective online dating site. And I know some of you wrote to us and said, oh, online dating is just not for me. And I can understand how that may be the case. However, the people that I've met and connected with on SpiritSingles.com are, without an exception for me, were wonderful, charming, delightful people. Whether or not we ended up staying connected, that it was still a wonderful process of connection. So that those of you who continue in the course will get that 1-year membership, which you can also gift to others if you're in a relationship already. And as I said, we'll be going through all the different aspects, both going through gaining that clarity, getting out of your own way, enjoying the process of both finding and living and creating your ideal relationship, and then what true love really means, which we've touched on tonight in just in these last few moments. But frankly, it's I think think, speak for Janet as well. It's our favorite topic. It is to really dive into what unconditional love truly means is one of the most fabulous and fascinating and wonderful things in the world. So you can go to thepassiontest.com/mate, M-A-T-E, thepassiontest.com/mate. All the details of the course are there. We look forward to being with you. The course, again, will begin in 2 weeks from tonight, and the course fee that's up there right now will be available until Sunday. So be sure to either sign up now or within the next couple of days. So, Janet, if you're ready, we'll open up the line. And we'll take some questions from those of you who are listening. Now, as I do this, it may be a bit noisy, so I want to remind you, when it's open, if you have some background noise, please press star 6 on your phone or the mute button on your phone, and that'll help all of us to be able to hear. We'll take a question, and then we will mute out the lines again so that it's easier for everyone to be able to hear our answers. So I'm going to open up the lines now. So someone is playing some beautiful classical music in the background right now. And if you can hear us, then we'd ask you to please mute out your line so that we can take some questions. I'm going to try opening it up once again, and hopefully we can get a couple of questions in here.
And Chris, if we can't, what we can do is we can just take one from our series and go from there, okay?
Absolutely. So, Janet, I think we're not going to be able to take questions from the floor tonight.
So here's a good one, and then I think we're actually coming to the end of the call as well. So I'm going to give this one to you, Chris, all right? Are you ready? Are you on your feet?
I am ready.
Okay. What if you've been with someone so long, it just seems like you're roommates rather than lovers?
Oh, yeah. And it does happen sometimes, doesn't it? Especially in our busy lives and our busy world, that we get caught up in our own lives, in the things that we're doing. And I know particularly if we don't have children, you know, children are often the great unifiers, and they tend to bring parents together and give them the opportunity to spend some time together that they might not otherwise. And so particularly in that situation where you have a couple who may not have children and have active lives, what do you do to be able to actually have a relationship again? And the place I would suggest starting, Janet, and I hope you'll weigh in on this as well, is back to the point that we said earlier in this call, to begin with the appreciation game. Begin with appreciating that other person. You know, it only takes one to reinvigorate a relationship. And that's the fascinating, interesting thing about it. You know, we teach, we've trained about 200, a little over 200 Passion Test certified facilitators around the world. And I remember one of them, when she heard you, Janet, her and a group in a workshop through the Passion Test process, she had been in a relationship with her husband for about 15 years that was not unlike this that we're just talking about. And she said that she really thought that her relationship was on the very last legs, that she wasn't sure how it could continue, and she was seriously considering divorce at the time. And then after going through the Passion Test process, getting clear what was really deeply important to her, one of those things that came up was having a deeply loving, rewarding, fulfilling relationship with her husband. And she began doing what she knew to do. You know, and one of those things was appreciating him, but also one of the things that was important to her, another one of her passions, was being able to use her skills of speaking and motivating and earning a great income doing it. And she and her husband were introduced to a network marketing opportunity that ended up being a tremendously successful program for them. And she said that as they worked together in this common project, that things began to shift, and she wasn't even so aware of it until one day her husband came to her as she says, quote unquote, with healing words, and apologized for the past and made the commitment to the future. And since then, she said that their relationship is the most deeply fulfilling, rewarding relationship that she could imagine. And she said, I so look forward to spending the rest of my life with this man. And so that would be my reflection on this question, that this feeling of that we're just roommates comes from attention, and in particular lack of attention. And we've said before, what we put our attention grows stronger in our life. What we haven't said, which is the corollary of it, is what we don't give attention to becomes weaker in our life. And so if we have a relationship, if our desire is to shift it, to change it, for if it has been something other than roommates in the past, then it certainly can be something other than roommates in the future. And it begins with attention, and it continues with appreciation. And it doesn't require a change from anyone else but me inside myself. And Janet, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I remember when I was taking Jan Renee and Stacy Hall's course, Attracting Your Perfect Customer. Mm-hmm. And one of them was talking about the fact that they had realized that as they were starting to put their attention on what it was that they chose to draw into their life and writing those things down and who they wanted as their perfect mate, then their mate, who wasn't really, who they didn't feel as aligned with previous or didn't have that spark before, became that because they were putting their attention on what it was that they chose to create. And so what happened was magically their partner started to show up as those qualities, and they started to recognize those qualities in their partner. Isn't that so profound? And it just shows that we are, you know, it is that the world is as you are. And so as you start to really attention what it is you choose to create, then the one before you, the one that's standing right in front of you who previously you couldn't see, had those qualities, starts radiating those qualities. As you start to appreciate and choose to attract those qualities into your life, as they did, then their partner started to become those qualities. And I thought that was so profound. Don't you, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And thank you so much for sharing that, Janet. It's really the key is that we create first within, then without. And that was one of the principles that we shared in the Passion Test. And we've been led into the delusion that somehow the world outside us is separate and distinct from us, when the reality is that the world that we experience is simply a reflection of our world within us. And as we shift and change the world inside, as we shift and change the way we perceive things inside, as we get clarity about on the inside about what it is that really matters to us and what are the qualities that are important to us, then we see and we notice that the outside begins to shift and change as well. Interestingly enough, and I know, Janet, you've experienced this as well, often vastly different ways than we would ever expect them to change. That's the thing that's always surprising to me. I know the principle that when the inside changes, the outside changes, right? But it never ceases to amaze me how totally unexpected it is the way the outside changes.
And now we'll give everyone who's listening, and now that we're closing, an opportunity to join us and watch that change occur, you know, as we start to draw from within ourselves. And I love that you quoted that great quote from the Vedas, Chris, that you did, that it's curving back on ourselves. I create again and again. Right? And so that's what we're all going to be doing together, is creating within ourselves and then reflecting that outwardly to attract and draw into our lives what it is we choose to create. So with that, Chris, why don't we open the lines up? And
well, I will, but let me just give out that website again for anyone that still doesn't have it and wants to go read the details on the course that we'll be teaching. It's at thepassiontest.com/mate, M-A-T-E, thepassiontest.com/mate. All the details are there, and if you have questions or issues still, there's also you can always send an email to info@thepassiontest.com. Again, info@thepassiontest.com. So we'll open up the lines and say goodnight to everyone. Oh, and I wanted to mention also, Janet, for those who are on the line, that when we do this, when we do the course, unlike this call where we have many, many people on the line, we'll have a smaller number, but we'll also we're going to create a structure so that it's possible for the participants to be able to ask questions at the end of each call so that that we are all able to participate actively. So let's open it up now.
So thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you.
Thank you.